Welcome to Shiloh Baptist Church. We are a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are lost. We exist to
employ.
Exalt.
Engage.
Experience. Equip.
Empower. Good morning. My name is the Reverend Dr. Danielle Brown, and I'm the senior pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in Plainfield, New Jersey. And I want to welcome you to the Shiloh experience. We are absolutely elated that you have chosen to worship with us today. Whether you're worshiping here in the sanctuary or as part of our virtual congregation, even you may be watching this on replay. We're just glad that you are here. Listen, if you're with us in the sanctuary, take a moment to check in on social media. Let all of your friends know that you are here at the Place of Peace. If you're worshiping with us virtually, take a moment to share this broadcast. Let all of your network know that something is happening at Shiloh that is gonna change their lives forever. Take a moment to like this broadcast. Matter of fact, don't just like it, love this broadcast, and then tag your friends in the comments. We want the whole world to know that Shiloh Baptist Church is a place where Jesus is Lord and where people are loved. We're so glad that you're here. Let's prepare ourselves for an incredible worship experience today.
Good morning, Shiloh. Aren't we glad to be in the house of the Lord on this Sunday? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And remain standing for Micaiah Lucky.
Good morning, Shiloh. God has certainly blessed us all this week in special ways, big and small. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for not only this day, but this entire week. Thank you for waking us up day after day. And even if we take small naps throughout the day, thank you for waking us up more than once a day. Thank you for getting us here safely, whether it was by bus, train, car. We all made it here somehow, and it was your plan, and we were destined to be here today. Thank you for all of the blessings that you have in store for us and the blessings that you've continued to show for us. And thank you for this season of faith and love and giving. And I hope that everyone has a great week and a great service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hallelujah. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord on this morning? Glad to be alive. Hallelujah. Glad to bless him. Glad to honor him and give him glory. We love to call your name. Your name is a strong tower. Hallelujah. The righteous run in and they are safe. Hallelujah.
We love to
there's power in his name, yes. There is power in the name of Jesus. So much power in his name. Help me say it, y'all.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There's power in his name.
Power in his name.
Say there's power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There's power.
Power in his name.
Come on, say it again. There's power in the name.
There is power.
Anybody know this power in the great name of Jesus?
Power, hey, in the name of
place. We call his name Jesus. His name is Jesus. Somebody just cry out Jesus. Somebody cry out Jesus. Somebody just wave your hand and say Jesus. 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 Above every name, that name Jesus. That name Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, right where you at. Let's just open up your mouths and just begin to fill this room with praise and worship. Come on, open up your mouths and feel even listen. Just give God glory in this place. Open up your mouths and start giving God worship in here. We want to give God glory. We want to give him honor. We want to give him praise. Do anybody have a praise on their lips in the morning that don't mind giving him glory? Do anybody here has a praise on their lips that don't mind giving him glory? Come on, let's fill this room with God's glory. Come on, open up your mouths and give some praise. Open up and give him glory. Open up and give him honor. Before we go to this song, can we just take the time out just to lift our hands? Take this time out to lift your hands. Can everybody just lift their hands in this place? And can we begin to worship God right there where you at? Worship your God, the healer, the one that healed your body, the one that saved your soul. Is it okay if we could just open our mouths and just worship him? Come on and worship him. Come on and worship him. Worship him, worship him. He's worthy of all glory. He's worthy of all honor. Help me sing this. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Everybody say glory. Somebody say glory, glory to the Lamb. We cry holy and we say glory, glory to the Lamb, to the Lamb. We say glory because you're worthy, because you're holy. Glory to the Lamb. Somebody say, oh, glory to the Lamb. Somebody say,
Lord,
glory to the Lamb. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of glory.
Glory
to the Lamb. we lift your name high, and we lift your name up, and we lift your name high. Say glory, glory.
In our worship service to welcome our visitors. If there are any first-time visitors in the sanctuary, will you please stand? Our ushers are handing out a visitor card. Please fill it out and place it within the offering basket during the offertory service. On behalf of our pastor, Dr. Danielle Brown, and our assistant pastor, Reverend Sheila Thorpe, and the entire Shiloh family, we welcome you. I pray that this worship experience will add value to your life and you will come back to worship with us again. Again, welcome to Shiloh, a place of peace where Jesus is Lord, people are loved, and the peace and power of the Holy Spirit prevails.
Praise the Lord, Shiloh. Good morning. We are about to light our Advent candles. The fourth candle represents peace and is called the angel's candle. The angels announced that Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring people close to God and to each other again. This color is also purple to represent the culmination of love through the Messiah. As the Wilson family comes and our musicians play, we invite you to pause for these moments and reflect on the peace that only Christ can offer. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Shiloh, put your hands together and give God glory in this place, everybody. Come on, you happy to be in the Lord's house one more time again? Come on, just put your hands together and just give God glory. Good morning, Shiloh. We are here to give God glory. We're here to give Him honor. I'm going to ask every teenager from the 18 children, 18 under, meet me down here at the altar here. All the children, 18 and under, come and meet me down here at the altar. Come on, come on, come on. All the children, Shiloh's children, 18 and under, come on, give your kids a hand. Give your kids a hand. 18 and under, come on down here to the... Come see me, come see me. Don't our kids look good? You can do better than that day in the house of God. It is now time for our children's moment. And we have a author and our artist. And we have a author here that want to be able to bring to you what she has wrote. And she has a book called Funny Brown Boy. Her name is Deneen Qualls, author Deneen Qualls. Someone, soprano, Shiloh, put your hand together for author Deneen Qualls. I'm going to introduce her in a few minutes. But it's good to have, you know, Funny Brown Boy, as she wrote. And she's going to come and talk to you more about her book. And I want to just, I'm glad that I'm up here introducing her because she is somebody that I have known for years. She has sung with my ministry, Vincent Walker, and Testimonies of Joy. So she's a singer, she's a wife, and she's a mother. She's actually the wife of our own organist, Elijah Qualls, right here on the organ. Oh, you can do better than that. He comes here every Sunday and serves faithfully. And so because I know that we support each other, and Shiloh, we support, you know, entrepreneurs and people like that, we wanted to bring her in so she could be able to talk to the young kids about what she wrote. Now, I'm gonna get in trouble for this right here. But today is our organist's birthday. Can y'all give God a hand for life? We're going through too much out here in the open where there's people that's dying all over the place, and we have good news. It's his birthday. So we wish you happy birthday, Elijah. Thank you for serving the Shiloh Baptist Church. Thank you. And so we want to recognize that, you know, we do have good news, and we'd like to share good news. If you have any good news, bring it to Shiloh so we can tell it. Amen. But right here, Deneen Qualls, she's going to come up right now, and she is the author of Funny Brown Boy. She's great. She's my friend. She's my sister. Shiloh, put your hands together for author Deneen Qualls right here.
Hello, everybody. Again, my name is Deneen Qualls. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you to my husband for allowing me to be here. Happy birthday. I love you so much. So what I did was I wrote a book during the pandemic, and I felt like it was very important to really pour into our children during the pandemic. You know, what they're saying is that they're projecting, especially our brown children, and misdiagnosing them and saying that they might have more of a issues with mental illness. So what I did was I said, let's tackle that with the word of God. So my book is scriptural. We base it on Proverbs 17 and 22. And Proverbs 17 and 22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit will dry the bones. And what we're talking about is that a merry, which is another word for joy, which is another word for happiness, is something that you use for your own strength. How can we do that? Well, what we can do is we can actually think of things regardless of what's going on in the world, right? Regardless of the stress of your day. Yes, children do stress. And what we can do, we can intentionally have something that makes us laugh. So I'm gonna read a little bit. It's about a little boy who finds things during the pandemic, during virtual learning, and even throughout today, while you're in school, you can find something to laugh about. So the story says, today is a good day to laugh. I love to tell knock-knock jokes to all my friends so they can laugh along with me. How many of you guys like to tell jokes? Good. And we like to make others laugh as well. He's looking at his mom like, I like to tell jokes too. We like to make others laugh too, but don't you know that's good for you? Yes, it's good like medicine. The word of God tells us it's good that we must keep internal joy in our hearts. It also says, mommy says I have a funny bone. I wonder which bone that could be. One day in virtual class, Mrs. Clara asks, does anyone want to tell a joke before we begin our learning? I swung my hand up very fast, hoping she sees me on my rectangle screen. Mrs. Clara says, okay, I see you there. You may now tell your joke to all of us. Okay, how many of you were in at home on a computer and you had a teacher on a computer? Yeah, wasn't that difficult? Yes, but you guys made it through. Okay, so he was excited to tell his joke. And so what he says is, knock, knock, and I want you guys to respond who's there, okay? Knock, knock. Wakanda. What kind of animal says moo? Okay. The whole class begins to laugh and shout, a cow, a cow. I giggle and giggle, and they giggle too. The sound of voices and laughter together clashing with some cymbals. I'm gonna just skip on to the end. Okay. And so what he does is he finds other things to laugh about. What he says is that when I go to the mirror, I try to pull my cheeks and widen my eyes. I can't seem to do it as good as his toy Arnold. It is funny to try. So he tries to go in the mirror and makes himself laugh. So you can guys can try that as well. So if he can try to make the same faces as he, it sure will give a giggle out of me. And what his mom says at the end is, you have found many things to find joy and laughter throughout your day. And today was a great day to laugh and give some joy to others. A merry heart is good like medicine, and this is the best medicine you can have. Thank you so much for having me. I will be out in the back. I am publishing a little bit more books. This is one. And my books are catered to emotional health. And the next book is going to be Anxious Brown Boy. I just talk about a little about anxiety. And so thank you so much. You can go to my website at emotionalhack.org for more. Thank you so much.
Now, Shiloh, we want you to support and go in the back and buy a book for your children. It's Christmas season. It's really good for us to understand that mental health is real. It's real in our brown boys, it's real in our black communities, and we want to catch it before it gets to them. Amen. Shiloh, stretch your hands over here. Stretch your hands towards your children here. Everybody stretch your hands to the children. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for allowing our kids to have life and more abundantly, God. God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you protect everybody in their mind, every kid, every girl, every boy. Protect their mind from mental illness and protect them from the enemy in the name of Jesus, God. When they go back home, God, let them go back home knowing, God, that they can laugh and enjoy life at the same time and still honor you in the same fashion, God. Honor their mother, honor their father, and they honor you. God, we ask you to protect them, God, keep them from danger seen and unseen, and keep their minds in perfect peace and school, wherever they go, God, as they go to the parks, as they play with other family members, God, guide their mind, God, and keep their mind pure from the enemy and the world that will try to come and take. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we pray. We thank you for life, we thank you for health, and we thank you for strength. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for your children. Amen.
Good morning, Shiloh. My name is Micaiah Lucky, and I'm a senior at Piscataway High School. I'm currently in the season of writing college applications, sending them in, and just patiently waiting for acceptances, and it's been extremely nerve-wracking, but I know with the help of God that I will get into a lot of things and that I can do more than I've even imagined that I could do. Great expectations is just believing in the things that you know that I can't do by myself, but with the grace of God. And instead of doubting my ability that I've worked hard for and the thing, all the time that I've put in and all of the energy and everything, all of the great qualities about my resumes and things like that, that with the power of prayer and the power of just believing in God, that I have great expectations in what's to come for me. I've gotten many acceptances thus far, and I'm extremely proud of the things that I've been able to accomplish through God. And his power has just made it so that great things have been happening for me, and I continue to have great expectations going forward in the season of believing and receiving. And I hope that you can understand the power of God's grace and just pray a little bit more each day.
Join Shiloh for Baptism Sunday on January 2nd, 2022. Please email Sister Marlene Powell at officeassistant@shilohplainfield.org for more information. Tuesday Bible Study returns mid-January 2022 at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., both in person and virtually. More information coming soon.
Hey Shiloh, next Sunday, come on, your ugliest Christmas sweater. I'm talking tinsel, pearls, beads, glitter, all that. And we're even doing it after Christmas so we can prolong the Christmas fun. It's gonna be great. I hope to see y'all in these ugly Christmas sweaters because I will sure have mine on. See you next Sunday.
Join Shiloh for our Christmas Eve candlelight service on December 24th at 5 p.m. Come ready to sing, dance, and worship. Hope to see you there. Join Shiloh for New Year's Eve Watch Night service on Friday, December 31st at 10 p.m. Mark your calendars, you won't want to miss this. Shiloh family and friends have various ways to give to Shiloh. You may text the word GIVE to 908-293-7376. Give using Zelle, online, by mail, or using Givealify, PayPal, or Cash App using the hashtag Shiloh Plainfield. For more information, please visit our church website.
Come on, say amen for the announcements. Come on, say amen one more time. Come on, put your hands together for our young people who are leading us in worship. Hallelujah, we thank you. And to Sister Deneen, where did she go? Deneen Quarles, God bless you for bringing to us a marvelous instrument to help our young people. Working in the school system only says to me that we are certainly in need of every help we can get to help our young people continue to flourish. So let us come out and support her. There are some announcements. Greetings to you again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And I guess you figured out by now, I'm not Reverend Dr. Danielle L. Brown. Guess what? Good morning, Pastor. How are you? We are so glad that you are worshiping with us, and we praise God for the God woman that you sent to us. Very good and capable preacher of the hour. We're going to just get through some announcements we need to hit. Please don't forget that January 2nd, we are having baptism. If you have never been baptized and you want to be baptized, Pastor Brown is going to come and she will be baptizing. If you have a desire to do so, just contact the church office, office assistant, and make your request known. On the 24th, we're asking, please don't forget, that's Christmas Eve, come out 5 p.m. for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Also, we are continuing Cybel. Please stay in touch with your Cybel teachers so that you will know when class is being held and when it is not. We are continuing our prayer call for our pastor through the month of December. On Tuesdays at noon, we are praying for Pastor Brown. For those of you who have just seen the slides on contributions, there are so many different ways to give. But also, I always want to say this to you. Muzzle not the ox, the mouth of the ox who treads out the corn. Please don't forget our pastor. She receives a love offering, and it is because of the love that you give that she is able to sustain life here. We pray that you will continually bless her as she continues to bless us. Have a very special announcement from the Union County Club of National Association of Negro Business and Professional Women. For those of you who are graduating this year, graduating high school seniors, you need to contact the church office. We have wind of a scholarship that you should be applying for. Please call the church office and you will find out more about the scholarship. So if you will do that, I believe that once I listened to Makayla, I said to myself, she's a candidate. I think she's the winning candidate. Say amen. Ah, what a marvelous young lady who has worked very, very hard here at this church, and we are praying for her. As we continue, I do want to lift some names in prayer. There's so many praise reports walking around here. If you've been on our sick list and you are now well, why don't you stand up? Let us see you. There's a praise report going on somewhere. You've been on the list and you are able to come out to worship. Come on, why don't you stand up? I saw a couple of folk who were on our list. Come on, stand up. There you go. Say amen, amen, amen. Standing in the back, standing up top. These are praise reports walking. These are those who have been on the sick list and now telling you and telling the Lord that they are well. It is offering time at the Shiloh Baptist Church. And as we lift the offering, I do want you to know that we are a tithing church. We believe in the tithe. God gives us everything. He only requires a tenth. What a good God we serve. You know that if we had the opportunity, we want 90%. But I'm so glad God says all you have to do is to return to me a tenth of that which you receive. Bless us with your tithe, but also bless us with an offering. Bless this church as we stood here for over 113 years, being a beacon of light to our community, working with them, praying for them, and lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen? I'm going to ask that you lift your offering up if you have it, if you've already deposited it, if you've already done one of those online services, do that. Just put your hand over your heart. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Father God, we thank you for those who are now preparing to give their offering. But we're also thanking you for those who've given already. So Lord God, we ask that you would take our gifts, that you will press them down, shake them together, so that they will be running over. That's your word. And that there will be a blessing for us that we can't even possibly imagine. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you for this privilege, for it is certainly one that you've given to us. We love you, Lord, and as we give to our pastor, we ask that you bless her in a very special way, that as she is absent from this body today, she's present with you right now in the spirit realm. And we thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to hold her and keep her as she returns to us next week. With grace and mercy, we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, that all God's people say amen, amen, and amen. If you are willing, will you stand and bring your offering? The officers are now coming.
Everybody say blessed, 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 blessed. Everybody say blessed, 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 blessed. We're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come. For the devil is defeated.
We are blessed.
Everybody say blessed.
We are blessed.
We're blessed in the city.
We're blessed.
have to interrupt. There are two cars parked in the parking lot by the dumpster. You must move your cars. I'm sorry to do that, but please move your cars. You have to do that. Need to do it now.
Good morning, Shiloh family. As you can see, I'm not with you in the sanctuary, which means that something really important must be happening today. And listen, I promise to tell you all about it next week. But today, we welcome to the pulpit the Reverend Dr. Sharika Nicole Newton, the executive pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York. She is my sister. She is my friend. She's a graduate of Spelman College of the Drew Theological Seminary, and just last year completed her doctorate in ministry from the Candler School of Theology at Emory University. Shiloh, we would never have anything less than the absolute best for you. And so on this third Sunday, I pray that you will pray for the preacher, pray for Dr. Newton. And Dr. Newton, we welcome you to the Shiloh Baptist Church. Shiloh family, come on, put your hands together and let's welcome Dr. Newton to the place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are loved.
Let me talk about the one who taught me how to love. I saw him on the water, he was bidding me to come. With every step I hesitate, and my faith went away. You're everything I need, I'm never letting go. You're right next to me, so take the lead, oh Lord. Follow you through the darkness. Will you take away my fear? Follow you when the sun shines and the shadows drawing near. Down the long and winding road, you always lead me home. If the water looks too deep and the desert looks too dry, he said, tell me why you're walking when I taught you how to fly. With every step I take, I feel the weight go away. I couldn't even see when I didn't think of you, you thought of me. So take the lead, oh.
Come on, give God glory, everybody, in this place here. Come on, you could do better than that. They was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. While you're clapping, I just feel on my spirit that I want to go old school church. Anybody under just that? Just a little bit, just an old school thing. You know, listen, I grew up Baptist, but I grew up at the New Hope Baptist Church in Newark, and then I also have some Pentecostal movement in me, but I just feel like I want to just go down home church and just go. Can y'all go with me? I don't believe y'all. Can y'all go with me? Can y'all go with me? Come on, give me a key here. Come on. They say old school church. That's old school, right? Yeah. Can we really go old school? Here we go. What you know about Jesus?
He's all right.
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 Have you tried Jesus?
He's all right.
Song, but maybe you can help me sing the song. Listen. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins all away. Rising, he justified. Free me forever. One day he's coming back. Holy as hell. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me.
Try
Jesus.
He's all right.
Amen, amen. Anybody in here know that Jesus is all right? Come on here. I said, anybody here know that Jesus is all right? Come. Y'all clap like I asked y'all if you had brunch plans. But I know that there's somebody here today that knows that our Savior is absolutely better than all right. Come on, just a couple of people glad he woke you up this morning. Oh, come on, in your right mind. It's the stuff that we used to hear people say, but you didn't understand it then, with the activity of your limbs. Oh, come, I'm the only one? It was raining when I left home this morning. I knew it was raining before I went outside because my knee felt funny. I tore my ACL a couple of years ago, and I didn't know what it meant to be healed fully until every now and then it just, but Jesus. Oh, amen. Good morning, Shiloh. It is indeed good to be here with you all this morning. I want to thank my sister and your pastor, the Reverend Dr. Danielle Brown, for giving me this awesome opportunity and privilege to break the bread of life with you all today. I say Danny's middle name all the time, but when she put mine in the announcements, it threw me off this morning. Gonna be honest, it threw me off. It's normally a private thing for us, but when she did it, I said, oh, that's what we're doing. Amen. Okay. And so I want to thank Ma B and Reverend Thorpe for just your hospitality this morning. I don't know whether or not Dr. Brown had a conversation with Vincent, but if she didn't about the pre-sermonic, then the Holy Spirit is just active all up and through here. And so we bless God for that, for Jalen, for your kindness, and for not acting like my requests were really, really giving you a hard time. We thank God for you up there in the booth. Amen. To everybody who is somebody in the eyes of God, I greet you with Jesus' joy this morning. I normally have a strict no shout outs policy, but my mom is streaming and she's already texted me twice, so. Amen. There's a word from the Lord today. It comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to ask if all who are physically able would please stand with me for the reading of God's holy word. Let's give it up one more time for these awesome and amazing young people. Oh, y'all could do better than that. Come on, let's give it up for these young people. Through the years, I've heard Reverend Dr. Leslie David Braxton say things change when young people get serious about serious things while they're still young. Things change when young people get serious about serious things while they're still young. And so we ought to really lift young people up when we see them being active in the kingdom of God. Because the truth is, if you just do a little bit of backtracing on everybody who is somebody, it started in somebody church. Everybody who ever did an Easter speech, it started. Come on here. Obama started in somebody's church. That's why when he got up to sing Amazing Grace, we went crazy. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it reads, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I may go also and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Amen. The word of the Lord is already blessed. You may be seated in his presence. For a little while this morning, I'd like to preach to you all from a sermon entitled, Go Back Another Way. Go Back Another Way. Pray with me if you will. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in this, your house of worship, one more time. We thank you, God, for your spirit that is already alive and well in this place, and we ask that you would tabernacle here with us a little while longer, that you would blow through here by the wind of your spirit, doing whatever it is you want to do, change, heal, and deliver. Open up our hearts and our minds that we receive whatever it is you have for us right now in this moment. Search us, God, and find us to be fertile ground, that your word would be planted deep within us, that we would bear much fruit in due season. And now, God, in this moment, my prayer is simple, and it is this, that you would make me small, that you would make me small so that your word might stand up tall within me, that your people might hear a word from you on high. And in the end, I'll be ever so careful to give you all the glory and the honor and say that Jesus did it, for it is in your mighty and matchless name we do pray. Amen. This morning, I walked into the office, and immediately, as soon as I saw my B, she said, "How are my babies?" And I said, "Well, my B, they're doing really well, plus one." And so what she was referring to is I have grandsons. I have three amazing grandsons because I have two young adult sons. I'm sure that I'm not the only one here who has ever been in this predicament, but I asked my oldest son to be safe or live holy, and he chose neither. Oh, come on here, people of God. And so as a result, I have three amazing grandsons, Chase, Noah, and Xavier Mason, who is brand new, 4 months old. Chase is the oldest. He's 5, on his way to being 6. It's very important to him that you all know that he'll be 6 next month. Chase and I have this ritual. We park the car, we walk to the house. When we park the car, as a routine of helping him to learn about his neighborhood, Chase tells us how to get home. Now, I know this might not seem relatable to many of you, but I'm hoping that somebody knows what it is to not be able to find a parking spot. I'm hoping that somebody here has a struggle bus like me, where it's not just pulling the parking in the driveway. And so in my neighborhood, parking is scarce. And so we frequently end up having to park 2-3 blocks away. And so one of the things that I've taught him over the years is certain landmarks so he can always find his way home. And so we get out of the car, and every time we get out of the car, I say, "Come on, buddy, it's on you. Which way do we go?" And he says, "All right, Mimi, I got it. Follow me." And so he takes the lead and he starts walking, and he eventually gets us home. If he gets a little confused, he goes, "I need a little bit of help." But most of the time, 5 years in, he knows exactly how to get home within a 5-block radius of our house, no matter what direction we park in. It's one of those things where he always knows to look around for certain signs and markers in the neighborhood. That no matter what's going on or which way we are or what time it is, he says to me, "I just need a minute to look around. I need a minute to look around so that I can see what's around us." Eventually, he begins to make his way. And so one day we got to the house, and I was not anticipating that he would be able to find his way home, because we were making our way down a block that did not have a lot of markers for me. It was just a block with one house after another house after another house, nothing special. And he's not a fluent reader yet, so I knew he didn't know the street names. And so when we finally got to the house, I said, "You did a really good job, boy. How'd you get us home today?" And he said, "I just looked around. I paid attention." I said, "No, but that block doesn't have markers. Normally you look for the laundromat or for this place. How did you?" He said, "There are markers on that block." I said, "No, there's no stores on that block. Like, what do you mean? How did you know which way?" He said, "You didn't see them?" I said, "See what?" I was puzzled. He said, "That one house in the middle of the block, they always have their lights on." I said, boy, you looking in people's windows? Like, what's happening here? He said, no, not inside their house, Mimi. Outside. Their house is decorated all year long. And I'm going to tell you this, I had not noticed. He said, no, their house is decorated all year long. They're the only one that keeps their Christmas lights up. He said, and so I noticed it because when we walk past that house, it always has the stars hanging out front. Oh, come on here, people of God. This is exactly what is happening when we get to this second chapter of Matthew, that the wise men are able to make their way to sweet baby Jesus because they were able to follow the signs. That while other people missed it and other people did not notice, they knew exactly what to look for. And so they were able to make it to their destination, which was Jesus. But before they could get to Jesus, something interesting happens in the story. Before they get to Jesus, they stop and have a conversation with someone in power and in authority. They stop and have a conversation with King Herod. King Herod does something that people frequently do. He pretends to care about the same thing they care about. I don't know how many of you are familiar with these kind of people, but he pretends to care about the same thing that they care about so that he can win over their trust. Come on here, young people, pay attention. Mikhail, you leaving for school soon. There are going to be people who pretend that they care about the same things you care about, that they have the same morals that you have, that they have the same behavior patterns that you have, simply so they can win over your trust in the end just to get their way. It's called manipulation when you get a little bit older, that he was trying to manipulate them into being able to have his way. But the Bible says in the end, it did not work. It says that they went to King Herod. King Herod, when he found out that the king of the Jews had been born, the Bible says that he and all of Jerusalem were afraid with him. I immediately wrestled with this idea about why everybody else was afraid. And I thought to myself, the reason why everybody else in Jerusalem was afraid is because they knew that King Herod was about to act a fool. It's not that they were not ready for the Messiah. It's not that they weren't hoping that somebody would come. But it's one of those things when you know somebody about to act crazy. Oh, come on. Y'all don't have crazy people in Plainfield? I mean one of the moments like when you're standing in a line at the supermarket or in the mall and the line is a little bit too long and you upset and you frustrated, but you hold it together because it's the mall. But it's always one person who gets in line. They normally always about two people in front of you, two people behind you, right? And everybody's doing well, and they start with the shh. Shh. How many registers they got open? They discuss starts off as independent, but then they start recruiting people. How long you been you in line? Excuse me, miss, no, you in the red. How long you been waiting? See, that's dumb. That don't even make sense because she only got two items. Come on, right? That then they begin to garner the sympathy of the other people in line. You were fine. You wasn't thinking about being upset. You was playing Angry Birds on your phone. You was chilling. You was texting back and forth, trying to figure out what you was gonna eat later, trying to see if you could find a discount code before you even got up to the register. But now in your spirit, you angry about the line too. That's exactly what ends up happening with King Herod, that he ends up garnering the emotions of the city. And so all of Jerusalem is upset with him because they know not what's about to happen. Anybody here know that uncertainty is the thing that people fear most? It's not even death. It's not being sure about what's going to happen. We don't know what the future's going to look like, where we going to live, how we going to be, what's going to happen with our children, where they going to go to school, are they going to be able to take care of themselves, what's going to happen when they leave this house. That there's something about uncertainty that makes us feel unsafe. But King Herod says, go, y'all find the baby, y'all go ahead and find the Messiah, and when you find him, come back and let me know so that I too can go and pay homage. There's something very interesting that happens right there, and it's simply this, that when good comes into the world, comes into the environment, comes into the office, there's always going to be opposition. This is the kind of thing that each of us needs to be mindful of, that when the opposition shows up, we ought not be thrown off of our game. We should not be flustered. We should not even be upset. We should not be emotional about it. The truth of the matter is that as many times as we get the warning in the Bible, we ought to anticipate it and be able to sidestep the foolishness. That you ought to know that when you're doing something good, when you're doing the right thing, when you have a plan for excellence, when you have a plan to move forward, to make a positive progression, that there's always going to be somebody who says, well, that's not, that ain't the way we used to do it. I don't, you know, I guess the kids going to like wearing jeans, but I don't know. Not y'all. Churches in Brooklyn. That there's always a little pushback in the face of something different. But we learn some interesting things from the wise men. It says that the first thing that we end up learning is that they go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, that's what King Herod tells them. But what it says about them is that they see the star and they follow it. They follow the star because they know that the star is going to lead them to where Jesus is. I believe the first thing that we learn in this text is that no matter what the journey looks like, you ought to take it as long as it's going towards Jesus. I'm going to say that one more time for somebody in the back. No, that no matter where it takes you, you ought to go on the journey as long as it leads you towards Jesus. That for many of us, the journey is not easy. Can we tell the truth? I see a couple of older saints in here, people who have been through things. After a while, some of us think that the journey towards Jesus is supposed to be easy. Somebody misled you and confused you along the way and tricked you into thinking that a relationship with the Savior was a magic panacea, that everything would go away that was problematic in your life. But the truth is that when you get connected to Jesus, the promise is that you won't go through alone, not that you won't go through. And so they take this journey. The journey is not necessarily an easy one, and the guiding marks aren't plenty. All it is follow the star. Now, I am not an astronomer. I do not own a telescope, but I have a god sister who is, you know, if you ask me, odd. And I was trying to be careful, but, you know, she's probably not streaming. She has a telescope. Anytime she's driving and thinks the sky looks pretty, she's like, oh, I gotta get home. I'm like, why? She's like, because I need to get to my telescope and see what's out there. I'm like, oh, okay, well, make it home safely. If you see anything new, let me know. She goes home and she looks in this telescope, and every now and then she calls me. She lives in Seattle. She calls me from Seattle, and she'll be like, Sha, can you see the moon from your window? And I'm like, yeah, I can. And she goes, look outside right now. Go look at it. And I go look at it, and to me, I see it. Yeah, I see it. Child, what am I looking for? She goes, it's amazing. And I go, yeah, it's bright. And she goes, no, it's amazing. And you can see all of this and all of that. And finally, I said to her, you're going to have to stop calling me with the moon watch. I don't want to be a part of it. And she was like, why are you acting like that? No, it's okay. I don't want to be a part of the moon watch. There's a 3-hour difference here. I feel like the moon that you're dealing with is a moon that I was dealing with a couple of hours ago. And so by the time you're excited, that enthusiasm has now waned on the East Coast. I don't want to be a part of the moon watch anymore. And what ended up happening is when I said that, she did the same thing y'all did. She started laughing at me and she said, no, Sha, I think the issue is where I am. My perspective is different because of where I am. It's not that we're looking at two different time zones. She says, I think it's that where I am, it just looks different than where you are. And I said, that could be very true, but I don't want to be a part of the moon watch. Like, I don't need the phone calls. They were turning into like a regular thing. I said she was odd. I don't need to be a part of the moon watch. She said, no. What I think it is that when I look through my telescope, I am seeing something that is so clear and so obvious that you miss it when you're looking with your regular eye. She said, I think you need a telescope. I said, you know what, ma'am, I have to go. I need to end this call right now. She said, no, I think you need a telescope. I said, no, I don't need a telescope. She was like, Christmas. That's not what I asked for. I said, I wanted the mellow sneakers. This is not what I asked for. Please don't buy me a telescope. She said, no, I think you need a telescope. Because what it does is it zooms in and focuses on what you are looking at in a different way. And she said, and so the stars shine bright. I think that for many people during this ancient time, when they were looking up in the sky, they were on the East Coast, and the majesty and the magnitude of what they had saw in the sky probably just didn't seem all that appealing. But when you know what you're looking for, that's the other thing. You see, she knows what the constellations are supposed to look like. And when I look up in the sky, I see stars or not. Either they're there or they're not. I don't know what shapes they in. I don't know whose sign is up in the sky. I don't know. But there's something special for her because she knows what she's looking for. And so for the Magi, they go looking for a special thing. They're looking for this specific star to take them to a specific place. And one of the things that I need to tell you is that for many of us, we are waiting to go to a specific place, but we don't want to take the journey it takes to get there. That we are waiting for freedom, but we don't want to march. We don't want to fight. We don't want to vote. We don't want to be a part of the change we want to see. That many of us are looking for better school systems and better education, but we don't go to the PTA meetings, and we don't want to be on the school board, and we don't even go to open school night. We don't even remember the principal's name. Many of us are looking for some things that we're not even willing to work towards. That the truth of the matter is, we say we want a deeper relationship with God, but we haven't been in Bible study since Jesus was laying in the manger. You don't open up your Bible at home by yourself. You don't own a gospel CD, at least one. Everybody got to earn at least one Kirk Franklin CD, but not you. That there are sometimes these things that we say we want, but the work don't show it. When I was growing up, my mother used to say, your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. But the wise men, They teach us that once you figure out where Jesus is, walk towards him. Walk towards him. But the next thing that ends up happening, they get there, they see the star, and it says that they're overwhelmed when they stop. They're overwhelmed with joy and with excitement and with enthusiasm. And right away, when they enter into the presence, it says that they knelt down and they paid homage. And when they got there, it says, then they opened up their treasure chest and they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And this was the thing that really rested with me. It was this, that when you get in the presence of Jesus, it ought to be special. Now, y'all don't know me, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to come back here even just to sit in a pew and visit without y'all being upset with me. But I want to say a couple of things about this. When you are worshiping, it ought to look different than when you are Netflixing. Okay. All right. That your worship doesn't have to look like somebody else's, but it ought to look like something, okay? That your praise doesn't have to sound like Brother Vincent's, but it ought to put something in the atmosphere. That your praise ought to show that you have sacrificed something to be in the very presence of God. Because if you really desire to meet God, you have to show up with expectancy. And when I expect something, I behave a certain way. Okay, my second grandson, his name is Noah. He's 2 years old. Noah is going to eat whatever fruit snacks he finds. He don't care whose fruit snacks they are. Ma'am, if you have fruit snacks in your bag and you leave them on the pew, if Noah was here, he could have been sitting up here near Reverend Thorpe. He would be like, doo, 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 doo. Oh, fruit snacks. That's my new best friend. He would come sit right there next to you and eat your fruit snacks. He's not going to ask. The fact that they're there near him makes him feel like he has the right to the fruit snacks. And so we've been working with that because, bro, these are not your fruit snacks. Like, every fruit snack don't belong to you. And there's a lot of like, yo, bro, those are mine happening when they're at my house. And so one of the things I'm telling Noah is, hey, if you are patient when we get home, then Mimi will have a surprise for you. Oh, little kids and surprises. I don't even have to tell him what it is. There's a surprise waiting for you. If you can be patient, if you can just do what we need to do throughout the day, then you are gonna get a surprise. All of a sudden, it turns this toddler terrorist into just this amazing kid. Like, he goes from being like, all the fruit snacks. He's only a Tasmanian devil when it comes to fruit snacks, so I will say that. I don't want to ruin his reputation with you all. But he'll go all day long. Yes, please. No, thank you. No, I don't want that. No, thank you. Yes, please. I'm well, and you? Like, all day long. Like, all of a sudden, we like, oh, we here, boy. What I told you all these manners. Come on and be somebody. Like, it is impressive. But as soon as we walk in the house, he goes, Mimi? And I'm like, what happened? And he's like, and sometimes I'll forget. And he goes, no, 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 my surprise. And I'll say to him, do you think you earned your surprise? And I fell out laughing. Y'all don't have to think it's funny. It's funny to me. He said to me, did you see me today? He'll be 3 next month. He literally said, did you not see me? Did you not see the manners, the no fruit snack stealing, the holding of hands and being patient, the not throwing things at my brother from my car seat? Did you see me? That he goes throughout the day with this expectancy, and because he's expecting something, his behavior along the way prepares him for the thing that he's expecting. Come here, because y'all don't think I'm talking about you. When you are expecting for God to work a miracle, you don't spend all day long complaining about what's going wrong. When you are expecting God for healing, you don't spend all day on the telephone talking about how bad your body hurts. When you are expecting God for a spouse, you don't spend all day long going through this one, that one, and this one, because you know that God has set you aside for somebody special. When you are expecting to get to college, you don't go through high school acting like your grades don't matter. When you are expecting that your parents are going to do something special for you, you act like you got some sense during the day. When you are expecting that college is going to be your portion, you do things that say, this is the place I want to end up. That expectancy comes with a game plan. And so right away, because they are expecting something, it says that when they show up in the presence of the Lord, they are joyful, they are overwhelmed. Anybody excited when they enter the presence of the Lord simply because they know that people who thought they were going to be here today are not here? Every month, you know, I believe you all do it as well, being that, you know, y'all are church. We celebrate communion at Emmanuel. Right? We celebrate communion. For years, I've done the same thing. When I gather around the table, I remind them that the truth is, when we think about the Last Supper, we say the Last Supper because that's what we are told it was. But the truth is, they was just having dinner. That it was a bunch of boys, right? It was their crew. Any brothers in here have like a fellas night? Standard, yes. Yeah. So they were having a fellas night. That's what they were doing. It was the same meal they used to have all the time. It was a group of brothers kicking it, gathering together. Can't you see them laughing and joking around the table? Can't you see them clowning each other? Man, Peter, don't say nothing to me, bro. Look how ashy your feet are. Your sandals couldn't even get clean with the water that was at the door. Can't you see them teasing? Can't you see them being like, Judas, be quiet, okay? We couldn't even ask you for a quarter. You're not buying nobody nothing. Leave us alone. Like, can't you see them? Jesus, man, did you see that woman face when Jesus touched her eyes and helped her to be able to see? Said, yeah, and then she saw you and wished she couldn't. Like, can't you hear them gathered around the table talking about all the things that brothers talk about, laughing and joking and eating, asking somebody to pass the chicken, pass this, laughing, sharing a meal as they had done so many times before, not knowing that it was their last time. Would dinner be different tonight if you knew it was the last one? How often do we come into worship taking for granted that next week will be the same thing? I'm sorry, but every single time I have the opportunity to go into the house of the Lord, I get excited, because the truth is, I never thought in my life I would sit home for a year and a half not being able to worship, not being able to step foot into a sanctuary. I've been at Emmanuel Baptist Church since my mother carried me into a church 6 weeks old, praising God, and I never thought there would come a day where I wouldn't be allowed in the church. Never thought a time would come where I would be preaching from inside the foyer at my home. Never thought I'd be setting up my camera the same place where we set up the camera when my sons took their prom pictures. And so now when I go into the house of the Lord, I get excited, not because they did the call to the worship, but because I know I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because for so long we weren't able to go. And the truth of the matter is, it's not just about going into the house, but it's going into the very presence of God. That it ought to invoke something overwhelming. Something that says, I don't know about y'all, but I mean, like, for real. I mean the kind of thing where I can rattle off names and names and names of people who I thought I would live to see for the rest of my life who ain't make it through the pandemic. People who I thought would be here to see me do all kind of things in the next stage of my life who did not survive. And then I think about the fact that my sons call and check on me because they wanted to make sure I was okay in the midst of everything that was going on. And so when I say I'm glad that God kept me, my spirit gets happy, because I know that there are so many who didn't make it along the way. It says that they were overwhelmed with joy. And for some of us, I just want you to know, you ought to be overwhelmed with joy, because some people don't know how to get to Jesus. Some people don't know how to get to what they need. I have a girlfriend that every single time we have in church and it gets good and somebody starts shouting or somebody starts praying, she starts screaming, get what you need, sis. And I think about how awesome it is to be in a place, in a situation where you know how to get what you need. When there are other people depressed and hurting and suffering and broken because they don't even know how to run in and get to God. But it says that upon getting there, they were overwhelmed with joy. When they get there, they then open up their treasure, the chest of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they give what they have to Jesus. You ought not come to God empty-handed. Y'all are tithing church, right? I believe I heard that during the offering. Like I said, I don't want y'all to be upset at me. Just be happy when I leave. Tell the pastor I did okay. But you ought to bring something to God. That the gift that you bring when you come into the house, the gift that you bring is not something that you bring that is simply superficial, but the thing that you bring is representative of the gift that God has already given to you. That's why we believe in tithing. I love tithing, because tithing is the fairest thing ever. Jesus don't never ask you for what you don't have. You gotta love that. That the good thing about Jesus is, no matter how much money you make, no matter whether you make $100,000 or whether you make 10, all God is asking you for is to be honorable over the tithe, to give a tenth, that you ought not come empty-handed, because you have. This is the thing that I love, that even in the midst of lack, God honors that, because if you don't have it, you ain't got it. Right? A tenth of zero is zero. I know some of y'all might not be mathematicians like me, but that's easy math right there. And so they bring the gift, but they bring an expensive gift, the gift of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But this is the thing that's interesting to me. They bring it the same way that we bring our prayers, that we bring our heartache, that we bring our grief to God. But the interesting thing is, when they are preparing to leave, I was waiting for them to pack the gifts up. I was waiting for them to pack the gifts back up and take them with them. But they didn't. And I thought about what we bring to God and how frequently the very important things that we bring when we leave the sanctuary, we still come back to the altar and collect them. What am I talking about? I'm saying that we bring our burdens and our cares and we cast them down, and frequently we come to church and we cry our hearts out and we pour our spirits out and we say we want to leave better and we want to leave whole and we can't feel this pain anymore. And so whatever we have, we come and we pour it out and we cast it down and we leave it here at the altar. and you feel better for the next 45 minutes, but then before you leave the church, you walk back down to the front, pick up the same luggage and carry it out the door with you, and you ask me, "Pastor, you don't even know me well. How do you know?" I know because your conversations don't change during the week. That when you really surrender something, the conversation looks different after the fact. That when you truly give it to God, you walk away from it. It's not that you aren't concerned about it. It's just that you know that you left it in the hands of the person that has the most expertise to handle it. There are things, okay, a couple of years ago, my son got hurt and injured in Brooklyn, and after the fact, I moved him to Pennsylvania to live with my parents. I moved him to Pennsylvania so that he could be safe, and when I sent him there, my son kept calling me, like, every day, like, "Mom, did you tell Grandma such and such? Because I don't know if she knows." And I was like, "Cute, she knows, it's cool." But he was calling me every day. "Did you tell her about A, B, and C? Because, like, it's really important, Ma, I don't want her to forget." I said, "Cute, she knows." "Ma, did you talk to Grandma already about something?" I said, "Boy, yo, stop calling me." That's how I talked to him. He said, "No, it's just really important." I said, "Q, I have left you in the hands of the person who took care of me. The only reason why I know how to take care of you and your brother is because this woman took care of me. I have left you in the hands of the expert. If she don't know, she gonna Google it. If she Google it and she don't understand it, she gonna YouTube it. If she then does not know, she's gonna ask Grandpa. If he don't know, then they'll call me and I will Google it and explain it better. Because I promise, unless it's something she got to Google, she already know." That when you surrender it to God, you ought to have the peace that says you've left it in the hands of the expert. That you don't need, you know, but some of y'all are, the issue is some of us are bad patients in real life. You know, come on here. Anybody ever been in a doctor's office arguing with the doctor about what you read on WebMD? And we've convinced ourselves that we're just being good patient advocates, right? Like, no, because you got to have an advocate when you go with you. So we got a list of questions, and we're going to ask the doctor certain things. But after a while, the doctor's looking at you like, "Okay, all right, yeah, no." I got diagnosed with asthma in 2014. I'm grown. I ain't never had asthma before. And so when the doctor told me, "Yeah, you have asthma, so I'm going to give you this pump, blah, blah," I said, no, I passed the test. He looked me dead in my face. He said, "You what?" I said, "The test that we just took. I breathed in the machine. I read the paper just like you, based on these here levels. I passed this test. I don't have no asthma. I desire not to be on a pump." He said, "You did?" He said, "Well, if that's the case." Closed the chart and started acting like he was walking out. I said, "For real?" He said, "No, not for real. Your prescription is at the front. You have asthma." I said, "But I passed the test." He said, "But I've been a pulmonologist for 30 years. I'm listening to your lungs and I can hear the asthma rattling around. And so you will take this pump, and when you feel like you cannot breathe, you will live. Or you will say you have not asthma and then die from an asthma attack." I said, "Well, you know, who's going to have the prescription?" You see, because every now and then you just need to trust that the expert has it under control. That what's going on doesn't mean that things are not changing, that things are not working in your favor already. It simply means that you have to trust the process. But here's the thing where I really got excited. It says that when they were about to leave, come on. They're about to go home. Where were they supposed to go? Come on, y'all was paying attention. You help me. Don't embarrass me up here. That's what y'all doing. You guys failed today, okay? Vincent, F's. Just the two of them. I didn't ask anybody else, but both of you. Where were they supposed to go, y'all? Back to Herod. Come on here. The ministers was paying attention. Y'all, A's for everybody. Tell the pastor. They were supposed to go back to Herod, but the Bible says that after being warned in a dream, they returned to their country by another road. They were supposed to go back to the same place because the person, hear me, who in the beginning pretended that they believed. Come on, y'all, don't be like cats. It's okay, it's a baby. It's all right, they cry. That the same people, they're supposed to go back because the same person who was pretending that he believed what they believed wanted them to go back. So they were going back to the same place to go talk to the same person who only pretended, are y'all with me, that he believed the same thing that they believed, that he wanted to worship the same Messiah that they wanted to worship, that he wanted to pay homage to the same king that they had gone to pay homage to. But after having been warned in a dream that Herod was not who he said he was, that he did not believe what he said he believed, that his intentions were not what he said they were, they were warned to go back home a different way. And this is it for me today, Shiloh. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The word today is simply this: go home another way. That each of us, when we enter into the presence of God, after we've spent a little bit of time with Jesus, we ought to go home a different way. That the way we enter the sanctuary ought not be the same way we exit the sanctuary. That our spirits ought to be a little bit stronger, ought to be a little bit more solid, ought to be a little bit more full. That the joy that you have when you enter the sanctuary ought to be a little bit more enhanced when you leave the sanctuary. That when you spend time in the presence of God, that there ought to be something that is transformational about it. That when you leave, you ought to go back another way. That the truth of the matter is that so many of us come in and out of church, it's simply leaving the same way we came, not because church didn't take place, not because the Spirit was not in the place, but simply because we were not prepared for how to leave. I had this experience where I told y'all what I do with Chase, right? We leaving soon. And so one day we parked the car. We did what I told you, right? He directed us home. The next day we're leaving out the house. I said, come on, buddy, let's hit it. Take me to the car. We go outside. He turns left. I said, wait, sir, the car is not parked this way. He says, Mimi, trust me. I said, I do trust you, but I think you might be mixing up the days. The car is not parked this way. He said, Mimi, isn't it my job to get us to the car? I said, yes, sir. He was like, I've got it. Trust me. I said, okay. But we didn't park that way. Like in my mind, I was just like, and he's taking us the long way down the block. I said, but we just didn't park that way. He looked at me and he did the same thing to me that I always do to him. Mimi, have I ever taken you the wrong way? I say, you know what? You got it, sir. Take us. And so he takes us the long way down the block, crosses the street, goes around the corner, and the whole time I'm like, bro, this is not where the car is. But in my mind, I'm thinking about the teaching lesson behind it. Right, that it's okay for him to make a mistake. I'm navigating and putting together the teaching moment in my mind. He takes us two blocks over, one block down, and we finally come back the other way. It's like a square and a line and all of this. We finally get to the car. And he said, see, we're here. I said, Chase, did you get turned around or something? He said, no, I didn't. I said, but there was a way quicker way to get to the car. Why did we come this long way? He said, we couldn't have gone the other way. I said, what do you mean? He said, we couldn't have gone the other way because there's water that way. I said, what water? We haven't even been outside today. How do you know? What water? He said, oh, I heard the neighbors, because that's a word we're working on. I heard the neighbors talking about the water outside. So when did you hear the neighbors? He said, on the elevator. You had on your AirPods because you were listening, but I don't have AirPods. And so you said hi to them, but you didn't hear anything that they were saying, but I don't have AirPods, so I heard them. I said, well, what did they say? He said, something happened with a hole in the man thing with the, you know, the thing, the hole, the manhole. Something happened with it and water came out of it. And that hole in the street, what's that called? I said, the intersection. He said, it's all full of water. We can't go that way. I said, are you serious or did you get confused? He said, Mimi, there's water there. We couldn't go that way. This is the way we had to go. We had to come back a different way. He said, if you wanted to get to the car today, we could not go that way. We had to come a different way. I said, I don't really know if we had to do this. He said, I'm telling you, we had to. I said, okay, it's fine. In my mind, I thought to myself, we'll see. Literally, as soon as we got in the car, I was like, I'm driving to the intersection. I start driving. I hear him in the back. He's not fresh, but he's super smart. He goes, he knows what I'm doing. And see, he's not fresh, so he's not gonna be like, why are you doing that? But he's like, I see him in the rearview mirror. He's so disappointed in me. I drive. When I drive, I get right to the point in the block where there are all these other cars behind me, nothing but orange cones in front of me. I cannot go that way. The intersection is blocked. He says to me, Mimi, why aren't you driving? I said, I can't go this way, sir. He said, why not? I said, there's water there. You were right. The intersection is blocked. He said, so what do we have to do now? Before I can answer, he said, we've got to go the other way. I said, you're right, Chase. We have to go a different way. This is what I'm trying to tell you, that the same wisdom that my five-year-old shared with me is the wisdom that I share with you, that every now and then what got you to the place where you are is not what's going to get you to the place that you need to be, that every now and then we have to be prepared to go back another way, that we have to be prepared to leave angry and go back awesome. We got to be prepared to leave bitter and go back better, be prepared to leave cynical and go back content, devastated, for devoted and empty, for energized and fearful, for faithful, that every now and then we got to be willing to leave behind the things of the world and go back another way towards the things that God is trying to take us. And the thing that I love most about it is we're not the only ones who've had to go back another way, because my Bible tells me about a man named Jesus that came through 40 and two generations, was born of a virgin, lived amongst men, preached, taught, healed, changed, transformed, delivered, and they thought he was going to rise up and go to the king. They thought he was going to rise up and live in the palace, but the Bible says that he went back another way, that his kingdom was formed through tribulations and trials and heartache and pain. And I believe, Reverend Thorpe, the reason why it went that way is because Jesus knew that he was going to have some people like me and you who were going to need somebody to relate to. And I don't know about you, but I can't relate to the palace, but the pit seems familiar. And so every now and then I need a savior who's going to remind me, I know it hurts, but go another way. I know it's familiar, but go another way. I know that this is what you normally do, but go another way, because when you go another way, you go towards Jesus. Amen.
Come on, let us keep praising God for the woman of God who preached the word of God. Come on, all of us are here because we went another way. We were going one way, but we met a man named Jesus. Come on, is that your testimony this morning? We praise God for Dr. Sharika Newton and the word of God that was brought forth on this morning. Thank you for blessing us on this side. Everybody standing, because we want to open up the doors of the church. This time we ask that you would open up your hearts, that you might consider going another way, that you might say yes to a God this morning that loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die so that you might have the right to eternal life. If there's somebody online watching, we have our virtual minister, Minister Alicia Mitchell. Just say, yes, I want to go another way. Type it in the comments. I want to go another way. If you are in the sanctuary and there was something that was said or done that pricked on your heart, that tugged on your heartstrings, and you know that today's the day, that you've tried everything else that you could try. You thought of everything you could think of,
Today's the day to surrender it all to Jesus. And for those of you who are in the pews and already know him to be your personal Lord and Savior, I'm asking that you would pray. Pray for those to the right, those of you that are to the left of you. Is there one in the house today? Come on, come on. Say yes to a God. Don't wrestle with it.
Give me the words that will be.
God is always waiting with open arms.
On the wings of the morning,
come on, saints. Be praying. Be praying. Be praying. Don't look at me. Be praying.
To my heart.
There's somebody in the house today. There's somebody online.
Speak to my heart.
You can make the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life on this morning.
Give me the words.
Go another way. Go the Jesus way. Give your hand to one of these ministers, and they'll pray with you and pray for you. If you have a yes in your heart today and you just don't desire to walk up the aisle, I want you to see myself, see Reverend Bell, Minister Claudette Lovely Brown, Reverend Thorpe. See us after service. And say, I offer my yes today. I want to go another way. Is there one amongst God's people? Keep singing, Vincent. Saints, keep praying. Keep praying, saints.
Will you encourage me? Lifting my heart from despair. How you love me. And
is there one?
Put your hands together and praise God for the woman of God who has brought to us the word of God, that we might not come to this altar and then take what is here and then take it back, that we might go another way. Vince.
Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord.
Come on, help me.
Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide.
Come on, church, help us when we go home. Somebody say,
speak to my heart.
Speak to my heart, Jesus.
Give me your holy word.
If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. See, I never go alone, Jesus. Never go on my own. Let your spirit guide. One more time. Oh, speak to my heart. Jesus, give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. I'll follow your direction, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. As we leave this place, let us not forget why we came, to worship our Lord and our Savior, to give him the first fruit of our lips, to bring our burdens and leave them there at the altar and go back a different way. Hallelujah today. As we leave this place, we're moving into what we will celebrate on Saturday as the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. On Saturday, don't forget with family and friends to remind everyone it's impossible to take Christ out of Christmas. May your way be straight. May your days be filled with joy. And at the end of that day, you will give blessings to our Lord. May God bless you in your going out and your coming in, in your uprising and your down sitting. May He be with you forever. In Jesus' name, let all of God's people say amen. Amen.
Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart.
Don't forget to go on their back to see author Denene Qualls. Go buy a book and patronize her. She's in the back. The author is in the back. Please go see her. Say hi to her at her table, Denene Qualls. Please go back there and say hello to Denene Qualls and buy a book for your kids. Amen. Don't forget to stop by her table.